This is about 3 years in the making. And so the first attempt that we applied with to the Canada Council for was something similar, but it didn't have the evaluation process. And so we were rejected in our first round of applications and then fine-tuned it with the help of the Canada Council program officers to make it fit what they were really trying to accomplish and something that we definitely wanted to do. And that's help Indigenous artists build audiences for their music outside of Canada.
And that's so desperately needed. Honestly, Canada as a whole needs to promote our artists even a lot better than what we've been doing, because we got a lot of great artists here.
The main challenge with Canada is that you're driving like 8 to 24 hours in between major cities. And honestly, like in the summer months, it's really easy, but in the winter, it gets even more dangerous. And so if these artists can take their music to Germany, like you're driving 45 minutes in between performances. And so touring out there is a lot safer. And again, Mexico is a lot warmer during our winter months. And so those are the main parts of the world we're looking to tackle with this project.
So especially with that, taking our artists around, we just had the Junos. How have you seen Indigenous artists and Indigenous music grow and evolve over the years, especially during your time as being part of the music industry?
Yeah, well, I think like a big part of it is the Canada Council for the Arts and the support that they have for Indigenous arts in general, and I guess Indigenous artists and music specifically. Also, Channel 165 at Sirius XM, the royalties that come out of there are pretty incredible. And so, honestly, I think it's a big part of like access to resources. And in the past, like our trailblazers just didn't have the same access to grants or royalty income. And so as a result, they weren't able to realize as much success as this current generation. And so again, I think it's a big part of it is access to resources and our trailblazers being denied those same opportunities in the past.
On this accelerator, there are quite a number of great artists, all from various backgrounds. Can you tell me a little bit about the process of how these artists were selected?
What we always do is we run a call for submissions and invite applications from across the country. And so the artists are able to tell us that they're interested and also tell us why this opportunity will benefit them. And so I'm lucky enough to not be the person that selects them. And so I think it was definitely a hard process to narrow down. I think we had something like 68 applications or more, narrowed that down into 10, a group of 10 participants was really hard for our jury. And so, like I said, I'm just glad that I wasn't the one that had to make those decisions.
Another part of this is going to see how a lot of these perform and a lot of the reactions that come out of it. What is part of the long goal of this project?
I think for me, the long-term goal is seeing if we can replace the really costly process of showcasing at music conferences around the world, if we can replace that with an online alternative, if we can build enough relationships with music festivals and concert promoters in different parts of the world that we can just email them and say, hey, here's a performance video by Wyatt C. Lewis, or here's a performance by Misha and the Spanx. Please consider them for your performance opportunities, your festival, and that'll make the world a difference. Because again, I think showcasing at one music conference in one country can cost a band about $8,000. And so that creates a pretty significant barrier to entry. And like I said, if we can eliminate that cost or help the artist, you know, do things a little bit more effective, I think we'll open up a lot more doors in the future.
Well, just hearing that cost, because that's almost enough to pay for a full studio album.
You know what? The nice thing about the Canada Council is in the past, you might have to put together an album with $8,000, but now the Canada Council makes it possible for you to pay your session musicians well. And in the pandemic, what I learned is that session musicians are some of the most vulnerable members of our community because they don't own any copyright. And so when we were no longer able to record, they had no income coming in. And so with the Canada Council grants, you can actually pay your session musicians well and not ask them to donate their time and their skills and their energy. And I always remind people that you're not just paying for like 3 hours of that person's time. You're paying for the 10 years, the 15 years it took for them to get that good at playing the guitar or the piano or the drums.
Kind of my last question here. The summer's coming up. And of course, this is all part of your guys' music festival. Are some of these artists, as being part of the accelerator, going to be showing up at this music festival?
Actually, we haven't announced the festival lineup yet, and I take great pride in the fact that we can no longer afford most of the folks that are participating in the Export Accelerator. And so that's just the nature of the business. Once they get to a certain level, then they're kind of out of our range and they're going on to bigger and better things. This is our way of helping them to take those next steps as well.
Especially with Aishinabe now, he's like, yeah, I got two Junos. You're going to need to add another zero to that check.
Exactly, yeah. So our festival functions as a stepping stone or launch pad. And so I'm happy that we play a role in what they're doing. But I'm also excited to support the next wave of Indigenous artists coming out of Canada.